man, this thing is getting more expensive every day.
I'll call the meeting of the Transportation Contingent Appropriation Group to order. We are in a bit of uncharted territory here, so if you'll forgive us as we kind of move through this today. I want to thank you all for attending, those who will be testifying, as well as those who are in the audience and the members who are here today of the group. I want to say from a House perspective that we are very interested in getting many answers to questions that have arisen because of this process being invoked, and we are, some of those questions are concerning, others are sort of a matter of course to learn how we should proceed here. Others are of very serious nature in terms of the financial situation at the Department of Transportation and within the state. We do, however, I can speak from the House side, want to make sure that we are proceeding in a timely way with the reconstruction of the I-35W bridge project. We also want to make sure that other projects around the state are not delayed. We believe, though, in order to make sure that happens, there needs to be a full accounting of a number of things, including the financial situation at MnDOT and how this process then plays into that financial situation. We want to be both fiscally responsible but also act without a lot of delay. So, Senator Pogumiller, I know you would like to say something, and then we can, I think, run through for folks maybe what we see today holding in terms of the schedule.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We agree that this is a little unchartered, but we'll work through it. Don't see a big problem with working through it. We want to work with the governor and the commissioner and commissioners in this instance to do what is orderly and in the best interest of getting this bridge rebuilt in an orderly, comprehensive way and in a good way. In addition, not have it adversely impact other activities that are going on in the state. So let's get to work, and hopefully we can. And I would also echo the speaker's point that we have had a lot of legislative input already, and so there are a lot of kind of budgetary things that members want to know about here. And aside from the issue that this is a large request, I think members just want to make sure that we make the right decision here and do it in a way that's fiscally thoughtful for the long term.
So for members of the public who may be watching today or in the audience and folks who are going to be testifying, as well as the membership of the group, we are first going to call on Mr. Watson from Senate Counsel and Mr. Shepard from House Research to give us an overview of, I think the one of the main points here is this is different than what we hear referred to as the legislative advisory committee process and how it is different. And that may raise some questions for the members of the group that they need to have clarified. After that point, I believe we will be calling upon the Commissioner of Finance to come forward to make the request that has been made of us, and with that, probably some questions. There may need to be a brief lunch break today. It would be brief, but we will let you know. And we suspect there will be many questions raised out of this process that will need to be responded to by MnDOT and the Department of Finance that we'll need follow-up to. So we will want to allow time for that as well. So with that, I think I'll start with Mr. Watson and then Mr. Shepard.
Madam Speaker, the law that we're operating under today is the laws of 2007, Chapter 143, Article 1, Section something, subdivision 9. And there's a copy of that in your materials. Now, in your materials, you've got the packet from MnDOT, and there's a packet put together by the legislative staff. And the, about the second document in that is a memo to Senator Pogemiller from Mr. Mossman and Bonnie Berezovsky that gives some background information, if you can pull that out.
You don't have that. Do the House members have that?
The House members have that?
I don't think so. I believe we do.
We need to give the House members copies of this memo? The House members. This is the Mossman Berezovsky memo. We have it.
Okay.
The fourth page of that memo reproduces the language of subdivision 9, and it's similar to an ordinary LAC process, but not the same. In an ordinary LAC process, you have a group that's composed of the Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader, the chairs of the Senate Finance and House Ways and Means Committee, and the chair of the relevant budget divisions. In this case, it would be Senator Murphy and Representative Leader. And under that ordinary LAC process, there is a fixed dollar amount that's appropriated as part of a bill. For the general fund, we have an appropriation of about $500,000 for the biennium. That appropriation is made available for contingent, for emergency purposes, and it can be spent with the approval of the governor after consultation with the Legislative Advisory Commission, composed of those six members. Their recommendations are advisory only. That's the ordinary LAC process. The Department of Transportation and their appropriation bill operates in a different way. Instead of having a fixed amount that's appropriated and set aside as a part of their biennial budget bill, there is this language in subdivision 9 that says if there happen to be additional receipts to the Trunk Highway Fund, then those additional receipts may be expended for certain limited purposes. You'll see the three different purposes here numbered clauses about halfway through that paragraph. First, for trunk highway design, construction, or inspection in order to take advantage of an unanticipated receipt of income to the Trunk Highway Fund or to take advantage of federal advanced construction funding. Or two, for trunk highway maintenance in order to meet an emergency. Or three, to pay tort or environmental claims. So those are the three situations, the three purposes for which that money is available. But the transportation contingent is different also, not only that there's no specified dollar amount and that it's designed to take advantage of additional money rather than money previously set aside, it's also different in that it adds two members to this group that's going to be considering the request. It includes the ranking minority members of the House and Senate budget divisions. In this case, it's Representative Magnus and Senator Jungbauer. Another difference, a third difference between this and the normal LAC process is that rather than saying that the advice of the commission is advisory only, in this case, the written approval of at least five members of this group is required. So nothing happens without the approval of at least five members, and that approval must be in writing. It's not the normal thing where you take a voice vote and say, okay, we're going to do this. No, there has to be the written approval of at least five of those eight members.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, I agree with what Mr. Watson said. I don't have anything to add, just to note that in addition to the usual procedure, I agree with him. It would be important for you, if you did decide to approve something this morning, to do so in writing.
Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair, Mr. Watson, you said if additional receipts are to the Truck Highway Fund, can you give us a definition of what we would mean by receipts?
Mr. Watson.
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, I take it that means money that comes into the Trunk Highway Fund. An example would be, let's say the gas tax were generating more money than the legislature had anticipated that had been in the February forecast. So we find there's extra money sitting around there. Let's say that there was more money that had come in from motor vehicle registration fees. Why should the money just sit there and not be doing anything? That has not been a problem in recent years. More of the problems have been in the other direction. A larger source of money and something that has been available over the years has been federal money. The federal government has a highway program, and they have certain amounts that we can sort of count on from year to year, but then there's also discretionary money that it's not pursuant to a formula. It's if the state has put together highway projects that meet certain criteria and they rate better than the highway projects that are submitted by 49 other states, the Secretary of Transportation has authority to say, within my discretion, we're going to send more money to Minnesota than they would have been entitled to otherwise. There might be some other circumstances. Let's say they pass a highway appropriation with more money in it for Minnesota than we had anticipated, whether as a result of earmarks or let's say there were an increase in the federal gas tax. For some reason, the federal money comes in excess of what we anticipated, then that money, rather than sitting in the trunk highway fund, would be available for expenditure.
Senator Pogamiller.
Madam Speaker, one of the things I think is also a difference, it appears, and I think, Commissioner, this October 1st response, I think that there was some kind of 10-day thing in the regular LAC process. I don't believe that there's that kind of clock in this process. And I think that allows us to do this in a fashion that's necessary related to either the cash flow or the encumbrance process. That's really what drives the timing of this. I don't think there's a 10-day window here where we have to act. Is that's our understanding, at least. I hope that's your understanding.
Commissioner, could I, and Senator Pogamiller, may I call on Mr. Watson first to give his opinion of that, and then in terms of the 10-day?
Madam Speaker, yes, that's my understanding.
Madam Speaker,
Senator,
to the group.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Would you introduce yourself, please?
For the record, I'm Tom Hansen, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Finance, and also appearing today in my dual role as I'm also the Executive Secretary of the Legislative Advisory Commission, which I know that this is not that group, but I have statutorily prescribed responsibilities in this process. To answer your question, Senator Pogamiller, the 10-day period is more of a, it would be nice to have it back by then, but it's not a statutorily designated time period upon which you absolutely have to respond.
Why don't you stay put right there for a couple of minutes? Members, other questions of Mr. Shepherd or Mr. Watson about the differences between the customary and usual LAC process and the process that we find ourselves in here? Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question. Is the transportation budget the only one that's covered under this special chapter that we passed this year?
Mr. Shepherd?
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, and Representative Magnus, yes. The Subdivision 9 that Mr. Watson was referring to is specific to transportation.
Thank you.
Members, further questions about process?
Member.
Yes. Senator Pogamiller.
I just want to, the reason I asked about that 10 days is that was in the Commissioner's letter to us, and I think we are not constrained by that, but we need to do this in a orderly fashion to make sure that we accommodate whatever the needs are in the agency to make sure we can fund an expeditious and an orderly rebuilding of the bridge, but do it not at the expense of other projects. So that was the only point. So I don't know that we have to
we don't have to move too quickly here, but we have to move in an orderly fashion so that the department's not put in a position where they don't have the money to proceed. So I just want to make clear that's the only reason I'm raising that. I don't think we have to do anything like immediately, but we do need to move forward here at some point.
Members, any further questions right now on process? If not, I'm going to ask Commissioner Hansen to articulate for us the request of the Department of Transportation, or on their behalf, the Department of Transportation, for the members of the group and the members of the public.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and members of the contingent working group. As in my responsibility as the executive secretary of the Legislative Advisory Commission, it is my responsibility to, when a commissioner of one of the other departments has a request for contingent funding or approval of federal funds, in the interim after you have adjourned, to take that request and forward it to each member as prescribed by statute. As Mr. Watson and Mr. Shepard explained, there's also, and that's why I did this particular request, the Chapter 143 Subdivision 9 language in Representative Leader and Senator Murphy's bill has been around for a while. I think it was late 90s, and it has appeared in every omnibus transportation bill. It did change this year when the language included five members in writing. In the past, it was the Legislative Advisory Commission served as an advisory capacity. Regarding our request, on September 20th, we forwarded to you, the documentation, and then your materials should be supplemented by Governor Pelini's letter dated September 27th. As we all know, on August 1st of this year, the I-35 bridge collapsed, and in doing so, it created a obligation on our trunk highway fund to rebuild the bridge. It has. We began with, and the Lieutenant Governor can get into more of the specifics as she will, about cost and cleanup cost and construction costs. But in essence, it has created a major obligation on the trunk highway fund that we did not anticipate when we ended the 2007 legislative session. We have received a federal authorization. A bill has passed both the House and the Senate in the United States Congress and has been signed into law for $55 million. During your September 11th special session, that money was recognized and the appropriation level for MnDOT was increased for 2008 and 2009. What we are here today requesting is that the appropriation level for the Minnesota Department of Transportation be increased by the remaining $195 million. Congress has authorized, we have received promises from the President to the Secretary of Transportation, to Chairman Oberstar of the House Transportation Committee, as well as other members of the Minnesota delegation. And that's why we have that request before you. We have the Legislative Advisory Committee has taken similar actions before in 2000, 2002, and 2006. And in fact, due to the complications of the federal appropriation system, when we enact our omnibus transportation bill, like we did this year, and Senator Murphy and Representative Leader's bill, we did that based on an authorization because the federal government has not enacted their fiscal year 2009 budget yet, and they just did the continuing appropriation, continuing resolution, which will take us into November or December before we actually receive action on the $195 million. Should you approve that request, the MnDOT's appropriation level is increased by $195 million, and then the Commissioner of Finance has authority under Chapter 16A to cash flow funds from other accounts that will allow us to cash flow the cost of the bridge until we get into the 2008 legislative session. But I want to make it very clear that the $250 million is not enough to pay for the bridge. The Lieutenant Governor in a minute will talk about how much it will cost. We will be back in the 2008 session with that portion above and beyond what the federal government has provided us. So we will be back. In essence, the action that we're asking you to take allows us to recognize that additional $195 million, which bumps up the MnDOT appropriation level, then allows us to cash flow the trunk highway account until we get into the legislative session where we will have a proposal to take up the remainder of the cost of the bridge above the federal amount.
Commissioner, if you would, could you go through what you see as being the federal timeline for the actual appropriation of the money and the signature of the president? And I know this is speculation, but giving the members some idea of best case and worst case scenario.
Madam Speaker, I was told Friday that the continuing resolution had a November 17th date. I don't know if that held over the weekend. So that would be my guess is they'll probably work to their deadline, like is often the case. So we probably, a best case scenario, won't see a omnibus transportation bill from the federal government until mid-November. Or at that time, it's not unprecedented that they again take action, pass another continuing resolution to go forward from there. But once it does pass, say for example it did pass on November 17th, then you actually have a federal appropriation. But then I understand from what I've learned from officials at MnDOT, it takes a while for the actual $195 million to come in, and it might be early next year. That's why the Commissioner of Finance has the power to maintain positive cash flow between accounts.
Senator Cohen.
Madam Speaker and Commissioner, just relative to the federal process, when I've dealt with individuals at a level below ours, say, my city, my county, and they'll talk about expected legislative action, and over the years I've often said, you better wait till we actually pass it and it's signed by the governor, whomever the governor might be. One of the concerns I've had with this is that I don't want to characterize your remarks as being somewhat sanguine about the federal process, but I think we all have been somewhat sanguine about the federal process, the assumption that the money will be there. From what I read over these last couple weeks, I'm not convinced that the Congress is going to pass a continuing resolution. We're seeing the administration, and I realize, Madam Chair, that Madam Speaker, this is not a hearing about the Congress and the administration, but we've seen the administration in these last 2 weeks take a somewhat harder line with the Republican administration, with the Democratic Congress. We've seen the significant minority in the U.S. Senate become more resolved as to how they're going to deal with the smaller majority in the U.S. Senate. So I get into all that. What happens if there's not a continuing resolution?
Commissioner Hansen?
Well, if there's not a continuing resolution, then the federal government would shut down. But if there's, I think what you're asking is, what happens if there's not a budget, a omnibus transportation budget, and what happens if we don't receive the 195 at all or a portion of it?
Is that better stated than my question?
Okay. Well, whatever amount that the federal government doesn't give us below the $250 million, we would have to make up here at the state level. But the federal government, they to take the action that they did in response to our historic and unprecedented bridge collapse, they had a specific named appropriation for the I-35W bridge. And we have no reason to doubt that that money will be there at some point. I know that they will. I have confidence that they will eventually work out their gas tax dilemmas, just like I have confidence we will eventually work it out here.
Madam Speaker, let me just ask one other question along those lines. Not being conversant with the congressional or the federal appropriation process, could they pull that appropriation out of the omnibus transportation bill, pass it as a single appropriation, and you know, maybe you may or may not know that, and has there been any discussion with the congressional delegation about doing that?
Commissioner Hansen.
If there's a significant problem come mid-November or December.
Madam Speaker, yes, we have discussed with our congressional delegation. We even had a hope that we might be able to slip in our money in the continuing resolution. What I'm told is that they generally keep specific projects out of a continuing resolution because once you make the case for one, pretty soon you get another and another and another. So we were unsuccessful in getting our language in the continuing resolution, but hopeful that we get the overall bill. But if not, we're not going to foreclose any other opportunity to get the appropriation any way we can.
Thanks. Thank
you. Senator Murphy.
thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker and Commissioner, you heard counsel on both the Senate and the House side draw into question the authority by which this request is being made. Can you give us the governor's position on this, why he chose to use this process?
Commissioner
Madam
Hansen.
Speaker, Senator Murphy, we have initiated the process based on the federal government authorizing specifically a bill designed to authorize funding for the I-35 bridge. And we have received promises from the President to the Secretary of the U.S. Secretary of Transportation, to the Congressman Oberstar, as well as members of our congressional delegation. That is, in our minds, a very strong case. We have done a similar processes through the LAC in the past, based on just a general authorization and not a specifically targeted to a project in the past. And we have confidence that that money will be received and we will move forward with the bridge.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, Commissioner, maybe I can try to get it another way. I think Mr. Watson said clearly that under the subdivision 9, number one, in order to take advantage of unanticipated federal or receipt of income to the trunk highway fund, which hasn't happened. So how under this chapter of law is this process valid?
Commissioner Hansen.
The authorization would be the unanticipated receipt. We have used the federal authorization process in that manner in the past, Senator Murphy. The federal government, with its authorization process, you know, they'll authorize a transportation bill over an extended period of years, and then they come back and appropriate every year after we do. So we are, because of the intricacies of their process and how slow that it, or how long it takes for us to actually get money, we consider the, in this specific case, the unauthorized receipt to be the authorization itself.
Oh. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and Commissioner, but the statute is very clear. Even though the money has been authorized, it still hasn't been appropriated, so there is no receipt of income for the trunk highway fund. So I'm still unclear on under what authority the governor is using subdivision 9, because clearly it doesn't warrant the use of subdivision 9.
Madam Speaker and Senator Murphy, we're each interpreting unanticipated receipt differently. you're interpreting, from what I understand your comments, you're interpreting that, and you were the author of the bill, as to mean an appropriation, as not just an authorization, as an appropriation. Is that what you're saying?
Madam Speaker, could I?
We need the senators all to move down one. The mics aren't picking up, so we all need. You need to have this mic.
Okay.
And we all need to slide down one. Sarah Murphy, you need to get over in front of Cohen's mic there.
So who hasn't been on the mic,
Senator? Isn't there supposed to be some music playing?
Want an amendment to get some money so you can fix up this room?
No, we normally have people lined up in front.
Madam Speaker, do we need to start over again?
I think Senator Murphy wanted to follow up.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker and Commissioner, this is the part that is troubling to me. I think the statute is very clear, and it says unanticipated receipt, and that normally means that you take something of income, and it talks about income. That sounds like cash to me. That doesn't sound like promises from the federal government. I don't think that... I just don't think that a promise from the federal government on money to come fulfills what we had anticipated last year and the reason why we put this in here, this subdivision 9. Not only did we want more input onto what happens here under this process in Section 9, that's why we put the ranking minority members on this. But we also didn't want this used willy-nilly. And that's what it appears to me, is that this is just a willy-nilly way of getting out of a sticky wicket. Now, there is, this is not just a DFL request, Commissioner. I mean, there's letters from Representative Knobloch, when he was the finance chair, to the governor, saying that this LAC process, whichever one you want to use, in their opinion, and I believe there was three representatives that signed that letter, all finance chairs, was going outside of the bounds of what was normal and customary, and called into question the validity and the legality of it. Knobloch or any of the other people that signed the letter were asking for too much, just to basically follow what the letter and the spirit of the law. I don't know, Commissioner. I still, maybe through your testimony, you'll answer the question that I have. But unanticipated receipt of income, I know it's in bold letters. It kind of plain English, receipt of income, not receipt of promises or
focus.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, is willy-nilly one of those weird transportation words that you guys use that I'm not aware of? We have used the federal authorization, used a federal authorization for unanticipated receipts in the past. We have done this in 2000, 2002, in 2006. We pass an appropriations bill in, you know, every 2 years based on an authorization and hope, you know, and projection that the federal government will have a budget in the federal fiscal year. It is actions that we have taken in the past, and a precedent has been established.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And Commissioner, I went back and I reviewed some of those cases, and they seem to be a little bit different than in this regard. And that's one of the reasons why this was put into law, is to kind of keep things above board. The one thing that many of us are worried about, Commissioner, is six legislators making up the minds of the other 201 legislators. There's 201 legislators. We go into session. We set a budget. That's what our state's constitution is based on. I mean, there's been tea parties that have been started for less. There's six legislators sitting here deciding on whether to increase spending of $195 million, and we're supposed to be representing the other 201 legislators. I think this is a little more than just a little unusual. I think it's well outside of where we should be. This is an issue that the whole legislature should decide, not six individuals in a room.
Eight.
Maybe that's the reason why our books aren't balanced.
Representative Magnus.
Well, to that point, Madam Speaker, I was wondering why this language was in the bill, because it does outline this procedure that this is a group that's supposed to decide that. But, Madam Speaker, my question is, unanticipated receipt of income, when does the income we get to the Trunk Highway Fund considered of receipt of income? And Madam Chair, I ask the question because Senator Murphy and I and Representative Bleeder, the chairs, and Senator Jungbauer, we're at two hearings on the bridge and trying to figure out how we're going to work through the funding process and all this sort of thing. And it was my understanding that it was required of MnDOT to pay the contractors at periodic intervals when the bills are due, and then submit a bill to the federal government. And so the question I have is, when is it considered a receipt of income? Is it when the U.S. Congress appropriates the money and the president signs it, or is it when we actually get paid from the federal government, knowing that we have this possibly 6 to 8 week lag after MnDOT sends the bill to the federal government?
Commissioner Hansen.
Madam Speaker, Representative Magnus, in this particular case, we had a historic event when a bridge collapsed, and the cost of it is enormous. And we had in a fairly unprecedented action, the U.S. Congress, in almost record time, turned around an authorization specifically for this project. Rarely does a authorization get through Congress on a specific project. $250 million for the federal government is $25,000 for us. I mean, they deal in trillions of dollars. And we, with the promises from the president to the secretary to virtually everybody, we consider that to be a receipt in this particular case. The governor has pledged to build that bridge as quickly as possible, as safely as possible, and to get it up and running. This is not a normal, as the speaker said and the majority leader at the start of this hearing, it is not a normal process and a normal request. Normally, we prefer to go through the legislative session, but we need to get going. We have the bid. We need to get them working and get some work in before winter starts.
So, Commissioner Hansen, I'm going to follow up on that. So are you saying that all other times when money is appropriated or authorized by the federal government, authorized by the Congress, that you would not use this sort of process? Is that correct?
No, Madam Speaker. I was alluding to the fact that Congress passed a specific bill related to this project, as opposed to normally there's an omnibus transportation bill every year in their federal process, and there's large amounts of money, and Minnesota gets the money based on a formula. The fact that they saw fit to fairly quickly turn an authorization around and get it signed by the president is an indication that a strong indication that an appropriation will soon follow.
Commissioner, if I could follow up again. So when the federal Congress acts to authorize money for the Department of Education, do you use a similar process to encumber the money before it's actually appropriated?
Madam Speaker, the intricacies of our, you know, in the large dollar amounts for our trunk highway program require a process that the bids get let as early as the fall, before the summer that the project takes place. And projects expand, go on over years, and requires at times for us to consider authorizations for transportation as receipts.
So in no other area of the state budget, Commissioner Hansen, do we use this sort of process?
Madam Speaker, we would use a different standard for regular LAC requests than transportation, if that's what you're asking.
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pogemiller.
Madam Chair, this seems to me to be a technical matter, and I think we've aired it pretty clearly. The check, we have not received the check, correct?
Commissioner
we
Hansen.
Don't have money in our trunk highway account yet.
And the federal government has not yet sent us the check because Congress and the President have not yet cut the check. So I don't want to get bogged down, but this is a technical matter. The check's not even in the mail yet. But our anticipation is that it will be in the mail and we'll get it in January.
Commissioner
Madam
Hansen.
Speaker, Senator Pogemiller, we have a one-step appropriation process here.
In Minnesota.
Yeah, they have two. They have more members. I suppose they have to get them all involved. They have an authorization piece, which they set the amount of money they over a period of years, depending on the specific issue, and then they come year after year and appropriate money. That is not necessarily conducive to the way we budget here. I wish they did it our way and made it more easily available.
So,
we wouldn't need the LAC if the federal government was able to get us the money in a more timely manner.
Well,
I don't think we need to hammer this in the ground. We have not yet received the money. That leads me to a question. Have we received the $50 million or the $55? Is that money in the bank?
Commissioner Hansen.
Madam Speaker, Senator Pogemiller, we have, not to get too technical, because you said we have not received the money.
We haven't received the $50 million?
No, I'm back onto the I'm talking about the 195 first.
No,
we consider the I don't want you to misinterpret my comments. The unanticipated receipt of income. We interpret the authorization from the federal government as an unanticipated receipt, which is why we're before you today.
Commissioner, I heard that. I knew that that's what you're in.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Interpreting it that way, but the check, we don't have the check. Now, on the $50 million.
We don't have funds in our account for the $195.
We understand.
The check. Senator Pogemiller.
And you said that if they do pass a transportation bill and if the governor signs it, not the governor, the president, we would probably not actually get the check until January or February, is what you said. Okay.
MnDOT is better able to.
Fine.
Fine.
So now I want
we'll to go to that in a moment, that in terms of the timeline of how the $195 or $250 million actually arrives here in Minnesota. So if you can just hang on for a second. But I think Senator Pogemiller has a different question.
On the $50 million.
There was a special bill not only authorized but appropriated for the bridge disaster of
Just let me clarify. I was standing there when Secretary of Transportation handed somebody a $5 million check at the bridge. They handed a $5 million check, so I presume that $5 million was cashed. I mean, or it's in the bank. Do you have one of your budget people that could help us? Somebody, finance, I guess. Somebody knows if it's in the bank.
And Ms. Fries, if you would identify yourself for the record.
I'm Lisa Fries, and I'm the Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Transportation. The money that you're speaking of, Senator Pogemiller, the 50.
No, first the $5 million.
The $5 million.
I saw the check handed.
That was a symbolic check. that was handed to us.
Okay, so is that $5 million in the bank yet?
The federal government has that $5 million in an account set up in reserve for us, but we do not physically have that $5 million yet. There is another extensive process that we need to go through to prepare documentation in order to get reimbursed for expenses.
Have we drawn down any? Have we drawn any of that out of the $5
million? So far, only one expense has been paid for out of the $55 million, and that was for the Navy divers. We're in the process of getting our documentation approved on a number of expenses at this particular point, and we would anticipate, hopefully within the next month, receiving some actual dollars from that $55 million.
So we have not yet. So the $5 million, Madam Chair, the $5 million and the 50, so you think of it as 55, so that symbolic check, okay. So we're talking about 55, but apparently it's actually 53.2,
I think.
53.2?
That reflects the Navy diver payment.
Oh, okay. So the Navy diver was 1.7 or something?
Yes, something to that effect.
And
we
received,
taken off the top.
Have we received that reimbursement yet?
The Navy divers were paid prior to us receiving it. So it was taken off the top of the $55 million.
Okay, to make sure we paid, they just mm-hmm. took it.
Yep.
So now we've got this 53.2 sitting there in some federal account. We don't have that actually here.
No, we will never. We will not ever physically have it until we provide proof of the expense already occurring on our side of the ledger sheet, and then we're able to submit to them for reimbursement that money.
And do we have a Madam Chair, can you give us a budget sheet that shows us where we're at on that in terms of the 55? What we've applied to draw down, how much we've been okay drawing down. Is the 55 going to be enough, I guess, is where I'm kind of headed to cover? The 55 doesn't deal with reconstruction of the bridge, right? The 55 is to pay for debris removal, et cetera, et cetera.
There are a whole host of expenses in which we're prepared to talk about that cover the gamut of the project.
Let's go there.
And, the Lieutenant Governor was prepared to talk about that.
That'd be great.
If we could hold on, if there's Sarah Murphy, you had your hand raised. Would you like to? Okay, we're going to.
Madam Speaker, just on that Senator Pogemiller's point, that $55 million is appropriated. You know, getting back to try to apples
at the
to
federal
apples,
level,
it has been appropriated at the federal level. So, the promise or commitment of it to MnDOT is different from then the actual receipt.
Correct.
So then as for expenses on the bridge, they are able to pay for it out of balances in the trunk highway account. And then when they get drawn down to a certain point, we have the ability then to cash flow it from other state accounts like we normally do with other accounts.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Commissioner, I believe I understand it correctly. The $55 million has been appropriated. And the state gets reimbursed when you present basically a request for payment for each monthly or whatever it would be. But the $195 million, just for the record, would you clarify, is that basically like a grant over and above the formula monies? So will you get that lump sum, or will that also be dispersed based on submitting expense records?
Yeah. Lieutenant Governor Molnow and Commissioner.
Thank you. Representative Leader, the dollars don't actually come there. We have to invoice against it. We apply construction costs. We apply debris cleanup. We will apply, I think has already been applied to the 55, local law enforcement costs. All those things can be applied. Then we send the invoices in. The Federal Highway Administration looks them over to see which things are eligible on those bills that are sent in to be reimbursed under the fund. And then they cut the check to reimburse from that account. And that's basically how we receive our money. We don't get the lump sum, but we do get, when it's appropriated, we will have an account that we can draw from. sending those invoices to and draw down at the federal level. The dollars don't come here. They come back to us after we've paid the bill as reimbursement on eligible invoices.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And that's the point. I just wanted to make it clear that basically the 195 and the 55 are the same basis of payment. You aren't getting than 195 any differently than the 55 million. As you normally have, I understand how you make the payments and how you receive them, but I was concerned that because the 195, I believe, is not formula monies, that's extra congressional appropriations. So that's where the difference comes, and that's why I was concerned if that was strictly one lump sum or not, or if it was handled the same way. So it's not handled basically like FEMA upfront monies or some of them. Yeah, thank you, Commissioner.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Pogue-Miller.
I think we need some clarification here. As I understand it, the $55 million is out of emergency funds that they have already appropriated at the federal government. Yes. And that's why they could, the Commissioner of Transportation, or Secretary of Transportation, had that pot of money, and that's why she could wander around with a fake check. She had the money. So there was no special appropriation for that. There was that was done in a previous Congress. That money's been sitting there. It had nothing to do with the 35W bridge, other than the fact that that pot was set aside, and now that there was this problem, the Secretary of Transportation could draw on that. And apparently they have somehow technically set aside $55 million for us. Correct?
Yes.
Which is totally different than this $195 million we're talking about, where someone has to make an appropriation. So we're talking about totally different pots of money, and I guess I would like to know whether she has technically set aside this $55 million, the Secretary. Is there some kind of documentation that they've got a Minnesota account that they set aside there?
Yes.
I'd like to see that.
We can get that for you. We do have that. What happens, Senator Pogue-Miller, is that there is an emergency account at the federal level, Federal Highway Administration, and the Congress appropriates so many dollars to it each year. And those dollars then can be used and drawn on for emergencies, just as we have.
And they lifted the cap. It was a $50 million cap, and they moved it up? Or
no, no. The original legislation, because there was a congressional authorization for Minnesota specifically, there would have been a $100 million cap had there not been special legislation done in Congress approved. So we no longer have the $100 million cap. It's $250 million, and we didn't have to utilize funds in a 180-day time frame for emergency response. So we were lifted of those criteria. The Secretary of Transportation, Mary Peters, has the authority to give us up to $250 million out of the account if the dollars are there, even though they're not appropriated to. She does have the other language that allows them to use up to $250 million. But we can't access it until we invoice for it. We have to physically have done the job and get reimbursed, which that's one of the reasons we need two things, and that's one of the reasons we're here today, is so we need the authorization to be able to expand our authority to include the costs of the 35W bridge disaster, as well as some other cash issues later on.
Senator Pogue-Miller.
Is it intended that the 195, does the Secretary of Transportation want us to ask for the 195 out of the emergency funds they have set aside already, or do they want to do a separate appropriation for that?
They can get a separate appropriation.
No, but that's not my question.
Yeah.
I would think there'd be other states that would say, well, we don't want the entire emergency pot to go to Minnesota.
No, they have to reserve some of it, and that's why Congress needs to act. But they do, as I said, put in a certain amount each year into that account specifically for emergencies, hurricanes, tornadoes,
how
all
much?
Of that.
Do you know how
as
much?
It relates to highways.
Do you know how much?
I believe it's $100 million a year, but I could be wrong. I think that's what it is.
And we're authorized to 55, and you were about ready. You said you do have information provide us on how much of that 55 you're ready to draw down, if the 55 is going to be enough. Do you have a budget sheet of some sort that shows how much we've asked for, how much is pending to be reimbursed to us? Where are we in that process?
Actually, there have been submissions to reflect on that account, both from the city of Minneapolis. It's not just MnDOT's money, by the way. People assume the $250 million appropriation was to MnDOT. It actually is for the disaster as a whole.
There hasn't.
It's for the cleanup.
Well, no, we haven't had a unless I've misunderstood, we don't have a $250 million appropriation. We have a $55 million set aside in a previously appropriated emergency fund. And my question now is, how much of that set-aside have we asked for already? And where are we on that? What's the bookkeeping on that? How much has Minneapolis asked for? How much has DOT asked for? Is there a running budget sheet there?
I think we did pass out a sheet. We do have a sheet, but it doesn't have that detail. If you want the exact amounts requested, we can up to this point, and those change on a regular basis because invoices come in. As we move forward with the debris cleanup, we're going to have that account coming in. But we do have kind of an idea of what the costs for the bridge are.
I don't want to take up a bunch of time. I just want to find out if you could give us a budget sheet of where you are on the $55 million. Where are we? How much has been drawn down? How much has been requested? And we don't need to do it right here. I just would like that sheet. I'd like to see the budget sheet.
We have,
Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner.
Senator Pogamiller, we have requested.
Can we get Ms. Freeze's name for the tape?
Well, if you'd identify yourself again, I guess.
Lisa Freeze, Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Transportation. Point of clarification, we did not provide to you on the sheets that we're handing out that level of detail, but I can tell you today.
Can I get that level of detail? Level of detail.
We will. Sure. We will provide it to you after this, but what I can tell you is that we have submitted, there's a report called a DDIR, which is a federal report that we have to submit to them and get approved prior to them reimbursing us money, even out of the $55 million that's out there. Those reports have to be approved by our local FHWA office. We have submitted for everything, including the bridge, the cost of the bridge. We have submitted DDIRs for, except for the debris removal, because we're finalizing that DDIR at the current time upon the completion of that task, and the maintenance of traffic projects that have gone on. We're finalizing the DDIRs for those. The traffic, the emergency response requests, those requests are completed and in the FHWA's hands for their review and hopefully approval soon, as well as the bridge, the cost of the bridge contract itself.
So just so we are tracking the documentation that we're looking for, we will be looking forward to getting a very detailed description of the requests that have been made on the $55 million. And I know this, for folks who are watching, it may seem a little slow and redundant, but it's very, very important that we understand, it is the fiscally responsible thing to do, that we understand the financial situation in regard to the I-35W situation and the finances at MnDOT. So thank you for that. I think that clarifies that we will expect that.
Yeah, I think it'd help me understand where we are financially here. Can you give us a ballpark? Are we ahead, or are we in the red, or what's going on?
Well, because we've already, Senator Pogamiller, since we have already submitted the DDIR for the
Madam Chair, bridge. Ms. Freeze, I chaired the tax committee, and it's always best just to tell us now, because we're going to get the documentation. So all I really want to know is, do we have a positive balance or a negative balance right now in terms of the Highway Trust Fund?
Okay, I can tell you, and we can get you the total amount, but we have a positive balance as of right now.
Okay.
What we're asking for, the reason we're asking for this authority on the $195 million is to allow us to move forward with the bridge and not negatively impact our 2008 construction program. This will get us through with the authority the LAC can give us today. We will be able to let the bids on the Highway 35W bridge and not negatively impact the 2008 construction season. Without that, however, without the authority, I have $551 million that I can appropriate for 2008. And having to put the bridge in there at a cost, which I think you have the sheets on, I will have to have an there will be an impact on the program. That's what I think you're asking. When will we run out of money? We can't run out of money. Therefore, I would have to cut programming.
So, hold on a second. Yeah. Commissioner and Lieutenant Governor, so I just want to summarize what you said. You said that you have a positive balance in the Highway Trust Fund as of today.
Yes.
That why you're asking for this is to not impact the construction program for 2008 and that you can't run out of money.
Yes.
Okay. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe I can ask the acting commissioner a question. You had stated that it was you had $551 million of authorization. I thought that number was more like $603 million.
It is, if I might just make that correction, it is with the availability of the $53 million from the federal level. Yes, you're correct.
All right.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, and whoever wants to answer this question, first of all, have you submitted to the federal government any receipts to get our money back?
Any invoices?
Yes.
We have. Yes, we have.
And Madam Speaker, what's happened with those requests?
Senator,
I believe those requests right now are being looked at for their appropriateness to make sure that they are all eligible for ER funds. There may
Acting Commissioner, what happened with the first request that you sent to the federal government?
Actually, the first request was the Navy diver, and that was paid.
Madam Speaker,
Senator Murphy,
what happened with the request for the receipts that we've already spent money that we were trying to draw down on the $50
million?
There's if you're asking, have we received any reimbursement to this date, the answer is no.
No, Madam Speaker, I'm asking the question, what happened to your original request, or do I just need to say that it got sent back to you because it was incomplete?
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you saying that we made a request that was not complete?
Correct.
Senator Murphy.
I would have to ask my financial people because I do not know that.
Deputy Commissioner Freeze.
The request, Senator Murphy, the request that was sent into the FHWA office, they have requested some additional information for documentation on a number of items.
Thank you, Ms. Freeze. And so it was incomplete.
But could I just respond to
Madam Speaker?
If we could do one at a time. It's difficult for people to hear when there's two people talking at once. So Senator Murphy, and then I'll call on you,
thank
Commissioner.
Thank you.
Madam Speaker, Ms. Freeze, what is the balance of the Trunk Highway Fund at the end of this fiscal year?
Deputy Commissioner Freeze, if there's someone else you would like to call on to help you, I think that.
16? 16.
Happened to my sheet on that.
actually the balance at the end of this
Lieutenant
fiscal
Governor
cash balance is what you're asking is the fund balance is $16
million?
$16.4
million. So, Senator Murphy?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, at the end of fiscal year 07, it's $16.28 million. At the end of fiscal year 08, it's negative $74.9 million. And at the end of fiscal year 09, it will be $6.9 million.
Senator Murphy, if you could hang on for a second. Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner, could you confirm that those numbers are accurate? I saw you getting information from your staff.
I believe our Kevin Gray has said that, yes, those figures are accurate as things stand today.
Okay. Senator Murphy.
And, Madam Chair, so help me with this, since, you know, it looks like the transportation folks are going to have to try to figure out what's going on next session to make all these numbers work. If, in fact, that the process that we're going through today is legal, which I don't believe it is, and I don't know, maybe I'm just reading it too literally, but, you know, I don't speak legalese and haven't had that course yet. But if this process is legal, where are we going to cash flow this $169 million request if all we have on the bottom line at the end of fiscal year 08 is a negative cash balance and we only have roughly $7 million at the end of 09?
Commissioner Hansen?
Well, we should have it passed.
Well, Senator Murphy.
And for the members of the audience, we will have this passed out in terms of the history of the trunk highway fund balances and the projected balances in, as we were just talking about, fiscal year 07, 08, 09, 10, and 11.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
We would just want the department to verify that these numbers are correct. If they aren't, please let us know.
Okay, that's good. But it doesn't.
Commissioner Hansen.
You repeat the question.
Murphy, could you repeat the question?
Yeah. Madam Chair, and I'll leave out the front end of it that I still don't believe that we have the legal authority to do this, but I'll leave that out. Commissioner Hansen, being that there's not enough money on the bottom line in the Department of Transportation to cash flow this total request, what is the governor going to place up so that we have an appropriate amount and we don't have to continue the robbing of Peter to pay Paul?
Commissioner Hansen.
Senator Murphy, we have done this before. You passed your bill based on authorization of anticipating federal funds. We've done this. It is not illegal. And maybe I don't know how the fact that we've done this before, your bill passed based on an authorization anticipating the receipt. So maybe we just disagree. But you've done this before. I don't know what magically has happened that all of a sudden you think it's illegal.
Commissioner, I think that the difference is that is an act of the legislature, a vote of 201 duly elected people to give an action to appropriate that money when it is received versus this process, which is quite different. So the act of eight people or five of eight people appropriating money, I think, is what Senator Murphy gets at. Senator Murphy, is that accurate?
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Well,
Madam Speaker, and what I want to know is that according to state statute, Commissioner, in the Department of Transportation, you can't ink the contract until you've got a pot of money identified that you're going to use to carry that contract. Okay?
Let's have a confirmation on that.
That's correct.
Commissioner?
Okay. So It doesn't mean that you have to have this magical lockbox with $195 million in it. It just means that you have to identify some revenue streams. And I want to know, where are we identifying the $195? Are we going to take it out of Kids First program? Are we going to take it out of Rainy Day program? Are we, which pot of money are we identifying to cash flow the $195?
No, we have talked about this at our meetings, and I would love to have, or Tom can probably answer it, but Kevin can also tell you how we've worked this out, scenario out, because I think this isn't exactly, you're assuming everything is going the way it is. We have made no changes, and that's not exactly correct. So we can look at this, but
so, Madam Speaker,
I'll be happy
now
to have Commissioner Hansen answer that first.
Well, Madam Speaker, now I'm confused. Now we've changed things, and we're not aware of what's been changed?
No.
So why don't we let Commissioner Hansen answer the question first, and then maybe Mr. Gray would like to come forward, as well as I do have Senator Jungbauer and Representative Solberg on the list to ask questions as well. So, Commissioner Hansen, Senator Murphy's question was, to summarize, where is the plan to cash flow the money out of? Mr. Showalter, if you'll identify yourself.
Madam Speaker, my name is Jim Showalter. I'm the State Budget Director. Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, the question relating to where's the cash coming from to cash flow the $195 requested in the LAC item, there's a couple of different pieces to that. The trunk highway fund balance information that you passed out is related to the fund balance. It does not necessarily mean that that's the level of cash in the fund at any given point in time. For example, if there's a $80 million project, we would book $80 million of obligation against the fund balance so that that entire project can be encumbered and promised and delivered. That doesn't mean that all $80 million would be dispersed in that given year. It might go out in a number of years, and for construction projects in particular, that usually is the case. So just for everyone who's not as familiar with transportation financing, the fund balance issue and the cash fund balance issue are two different things. More specifically to the question of where's the cash for the $195 coming from, it is upon booking the receipt, the estimated receipt and estimated revenues coming from the federal government. So which pocket is it coming out of? It'd be coming out of the federal government's pocket.
Well, Senator Murphy.
Mr. Showalter, you said a couple things there that that sent the antenna right to the top. It appears that maybe you want to use a double booking practice where we've got Project A that's worth $80 million, so we're identifying $80 million of the unencumbered balance, and we're saying, okay, that $80 million is going to be, just pick something, say Highway 61 going through Red Wing, okay? Let's just say that. Okay, so now we've identified that for $80 million, and we can begin the process by which we're going to let that out the door. Okay, and you've got all these other projects that have encumbered a portion of that balance. Granted, there's still cash sitting there because the money hasn't been spent. Okay, now we're going to come along with this $195. Are we going to identify the same money that we've already identified to build other projects with?
Mr. Showalter.
Madam Speaker, Senator, I'm not entirely clear. The question is, are we going to identify which projects are being spent in which given year? Is that the, I'm sorry.
Madam Speaker, Senator, are you talking about how we...
Commissioner Hansen.
The $195, we've accepted as a receipt. What happens in the meantime until we actually get the money? And how are we going to account for that $195? Is that in essence what you're asking?
Senator Murphy, yes?
Yes.
We will use our cash flow authority that the Commissioner of Finance has used to cash flow various accounts, and we will use our authority to cash flow as the expenses in the trunk highway account for the bridge accumulate from month to month. We, as I started with my opening remarks, we're hoping that we get the appropriation from Congress in November, and that would be an ideal situation. But remember, I also said we will be back in February, and we're all to fund that portion of the bridge above and beyond what the federal government is providing. Oh, and one additional comment, Senator Murphy. If at some point, even with the 195, without the state portion of the bridge, you know, the longer we wait into the legislative session, then we do start running into budget authority and funding problems going out into fiscal 2009, which I'm sure you're aware of.
I'm going to call on the two members who wanted to ask a question, but when they are done, I would like the department, and probably my suggestion might be Mr. Gray, to walk through the document entitled Minnesota Department of Transportation, I-35W and Related Cost Impacts, as well as there is a second similar document named, interestingly, the very same thing, but it is, how is it different?
One's costs and one's appropriations.
Okay, but they're both in the case. The fourth heading down, state road construction appropriation and state road construction. So just so that you guys are on notice that after Senator Youngbauer and Representative Solberg have had their time.
Thank you,
Senator
Madam
Youngbauer.
Madam Speaker, thank you. And to the Lieutenant Governor and the Commissioner, help me through. This came up a little while back, but help me through this. The Secretary of Transportation and our federal contingent talked about lifting the cap on this emergency fund and making more monies available under the emergency fund, and I think you talked about that before as far as the $250 million. So I'm having a hard time understanding whether the appropriation is necessary to cover things or if we have a potential for grabbing the $250 million out of two separate pots or how that works, because why would they need to lift that cap if they wouldn't potentially make that money available to us under that emergency fund?
Lieutenant Governor, Commissioner.
Thank you. The Federal Highway Administration didn't lift the cap. Congress did in their bill. In their authorization, they lifted the cap from $100 million to $250 million. They did it, not the Secretary of Transportation.
Senator Youngbauer.
Madam Speaker and Lieutenant Governor, they lifted it, but from our federal people, it sounded like they lifted it with the potential intention of allowing us to use more money under the emergency guidelines. Is that not true?
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
Thank you. We can use up to the $250 million, and just in case, then we also could, in the future, apply any additional costs that are related to the bridge and they feel are appropriate or qualify. We could also then go to the regular ER account and ask for those, and those would probably take quite a bit longer for reimbursement.
Senator Youngbauer.
Madam Speaker and Lieutenant Governor, so potentially we could cover the $250 million under emergency or it doesn't meet the guidelines?
Mm-hmm. No.
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
I'm not sure what you're really asking, because we have authority for $250 million that was legislatively done by Congress. Right.
Senator Youngbauer.
Madam Speaker, Lieutenant Governor.
But we don't have the appropriation at this point.
Okay, so that kind of qualifies where I'm getting to. The appropriation then, I just want to make sure I'm following this whole string. The appropriation would actually then go directly to the emergency funds through the Highway Administration and then come through that fund, so it's not a separate and distinct appropriation in and of itself for the 35 bridge?
No, actually the $250 million would be for the bridge emergency that was authorized, yes. It would be in an account that we can tap into, just like the $55 million is in an account that we can tap into that won't be obligated to anyone else. It'll be there for Minnesota to use and to be able to invoice against and be reimbursed.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think I'm following all that now.
Okay. Representative Solberg.
Madam Speaker, Commissioner, I want to follow up a little bit on that line of raised questioning myself. Mm-hmm. Commissioner or Lieutenant Governor, you said that the $55 million was authorized and appropriated from the emergency account. We know that. That has to be paid back from the $250, I understand. So it's not $250 plus $55, but $250 authority. Mm-hmm. And my understanding also is that Congress didn't do anything other than change it from $100 million authorization for this type of project to $250 authorization for federal monies to flow to that type of project. Am I correct on that?
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
Yes, I believe they lifted the cap, actually, typically for incident, it would be $100 million. Yes.
Madam Speaker and Lieutenant Governor, you confused me a little bit earlier, and I've written this down. You said that potentially if everything else doesn't, if nothing happens here in the state, that the federal government doesn't appropriate any money, the authorized but haven't appropriated, that the commissioner, that the Secretary of Transportation could fund the entire $250, and that's, I think, where Senator Jungbauer was going, out of the emergency funds. But my understanding also is that the Congress hasn't authorized or appropriated enough in that emergency fund. So I think you answered, you said typically the Congress appropriates $100 million a year into the emergency fund, and that would only be then $45 million of that available if no other state has ever used any of the fund. You said that they could fund it all out of the $250 out of that emergency fund, but am I correct and are you correct in saying that Congress has only appropriated $100 million for that emergency fund?
That's what they do on a yearly basis, I believe. Now, whether it's all the reason we were able to, or Secretary Peters was able to come forth with $55 million was because there were dollars in the fund available to use. And that made it happen. So, yes.
Madam Speaker and Lieutenant Governor, I want to make very clear, though, that the Secretary of Transportation, under your testimony, could fund the whole $250 out of that fund, but there's no money in that federal fund. There's not that much money in the federal fund. Is that your understanding? There's not $250 million available in that federal fund.
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
That's not exactly what I said. There may be that. I'm not sure what the balance in that fund is, but what I can tell you is they have to keep some money for emergencies, so they can't drain the fund completely. And then what they do with the dollars that are remaining are any emergencies across the nation that have occurred, dollars are then spread out over those emergencies, and everyone gets a proportion of that based on, they get a portion of it. So they're not all going to get paid in full. But when Congress authorizes the full or appropriates the full $250 million,
I understand when we authorize and appropriate the $250. That's separate in Congress. I'm specifically trying to focus in on the emergency funds and your testimony that the commissioner, that the Secretary of Transportation had the authority to be able to fund if nothing happens, if Congress doesn't do anything to give us additional monies. If the Congress and the President fight and they veto and all that kind of stuff, in a timely fashion, that the Secretary of Transportation would have the authority and the money is available to increase that 55 to 250.
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
Chair and Representative Solberg, I don't know the money is available at this point, so I can't guarantee that, but it is possible for the Secretary of Transportation to do that, but I do not know what's available in the account today because it changes probably on a daily basis.
Well, Madam Speaker, I think that's an important question to ask because that's our backup if everything else fails. And is there anybody in the room, somebody in the staff that would be able to, in a timely fashion, get that information to us.
I'll just ask if there's anyone in the audience that could answer that question for us in terms of the emergency monies in the Federal Highway Administration. If there's not, we will direct staff to make an inquiry.
If you would do that, Madam Speaker,
that
I think
be
that would be. Then, Lieutenant Governor, you just had one other thing that kind of keyed my interest, and that is you said if there's an emergencies in other states, and let's say the Congress has appropriated $100 million and we've got $55 million of it guaranteed for us or appropriated for us or set aside for us, but if there are other emergencies in other states and they need some money, does the Secretary of Transportation have the authority to, I think you used the word to, I'll have to go back and listen to your tape, to reappropriate the money on a basis of need throughout the country? A portion, I think you said, the money.
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
Thank you. First of all, when dollars are put into the account, all the states, no matter who it is, will have to invoice against that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the eligible expenditures will be reimbursed to the state. So the state pays up front first. In this case, we have an account, so to speak, that we can invoice against worth $55 million. Now, the secretary cannot have someone else also have the $55 million be eligible to them as well. So that is our account at this point in time.
Well, Madam
yes,
Speaker, when you said at this point in time, does the Secretary of Transportation, if there's a couple of other disasters and they need to respond to, have the authority to reallocate that money to and give us less than 55?
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
Madam Chair and Representative, no, those monies are appropriated to or obligated to this, to Minnesota at this, and that is what it is. It would be like telling someone that we will take care of that for you, and then someone else has an emergency, so you take that money and give it to them. You can't spend it twice. It's been obligated, so it no longer is considered available.
Very good. Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. Madam Chair, just one other question then. For the $55 million under the invoices, you have to pay the invoices and then get reimbursed. And I think we're probably going to get some information. It's kind of tough to get it, but of how much has been invoiced to the federal government so far. My question is, you have paid those invoices before you submit them to the federal government, I assume. Is that correct?
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
Not exactly. If it's from the city of Minneapolis, for instance, they would have had the cost paid there. For them, it might be security costs. They would have paid their police and fire and any of the overtime, all of that, and they would be applying into that $250 to receive that back. That would probably go to them. It wouldn't come.
No,
to
I'm, Madam Speaker,
I'm not sure if that's
Lieutenant Governor. I'm asking about the state money. The state money. I understand Minneapolis has got their own cash. I'm going at the cash flow question. Mm-hmm. Is have you actually paid money out to a contractor yet that has submitted an invoice to you?
Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner.
I think Kevin can probably give you
okay.
the update on that because I know we've invoiced, but I'm not sure. I think we've invoiced, but I'm not sure. He would have to tell you.
Mr. Gray, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Madam Speaker, I'm Kevin Gray with the Department of Transportation, their Chief Financial Officer. On the issue of federal funds, there's been a lot of dialogue, and I think we're all nibbling around the edges and all at least partially correct. To date, we have incurred in the range of, I want to say, $25 million of costs. Over and above that, the local governmental entities have incurred, I would forecast, approximately $10 to $15 million of costs. We believe a vast majority of those costs are eligible under the ER program, and we are working with the FHWA to get the right level of detail, the right format, so that their review and their interpretation of the ER program is complied with and can be facilitated through the process. So we're aggressively working on that front. And yes, Representative Solberg, we have incurred and paid contractors to date, including on the demolition of the bridge, including on the freeway improvements made on 94 and 280 to convert the 280 into a freeway, and including, of course, payroll and other costs that have been in excess of what our initial forecast was. So, yes, we have incurred cash costs. We also have some costs that will be part of this that we haven't necessarily paid the bill yet, but that's just the timing difference. We might pay the bill while it's being reviewed by the feds.
Just one other question then, and this is to Commissioner Hansen. Has there been enough cash flow in the truck highway fund, or have you had to use your authority, the governor's authority, under the, I think it's section 16 or 16 something or another, to put money into that fund to cover the costs incurred for this $53.2 million?
Commissioner Hansen.
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, I think it's 16A129.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I know you got the authority under something.
We have not had to do that. Okay. They have had the trunk highway account has had enough cash to pay these expenses.
One follow-up.
Representative Solberg.
Have the truck highway fund had to borrow money from the municipal or county aides to do that for their cash flow?
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, no, we have not. We have been had sufficient cash to pay the bills to date.
Mr. Gray, a follow-up. If we could have copies of receipts in terms of or documentation of the payment of those contractors, of the reimbursements, I think that would be helpful to this group.
Madam Speaker, we'll provide that information. I think it dovetails nicely with Senator Pogemiller's request, and we'll give you an accounting of where we're at to date. Also be aware that we're looking at the total costs of the and related costs of the bridge and applying to the federal government to make them aware of the magnitude of the what we think will be ER eligible. So there's a little bit of a two-step going on here, what's actually been incurred and is reimbursable to date that would come out of the quick release monies, the remaining $53.2 million that is literally sitting in a bank account today to draw upon, and then, of course, the broader magnitude of the incident and the additional funds that we need in total, which is why we're here today in part to ensure that we've got appropriation authority and the longer-term issue of the total costs of the episode exceed even the authorization to date of $250 million. But that's related but separate discussion.
And, Mr. Gray, we're going to have you go through these documents in just a second, but I know that Representative Leader had a question.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Basically, I think the question will also relate to what he's going to speak about. And also, I'm concerned about the cash flow.
Wonderful. Well, Mr. Gray, then why don't we move to you? And I need a set of these documents in front of me, so if someone could help with that, the documents that MnDOT handed out.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pogemiller.
Is the intent just to have them explain these and then hold questions? We'll have lunch and then we'll come back after lunch.
I think that Representative Leader may have something really specific that he wanted to ask, and then we will take a very brief lunch break and be back in the room.
After they go through this,
and Representative Leader did want to follow up on this. So, Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker and members, thank you for the opportunity to walk you through this. We thought, and we're still trying to get our arms around things. It's a fluid environment, but we, of course, have the bid in and some information we have today that we obviously didn't have even a month ago when the special session discussions were ongoing. We have two schedules, and unfortunately they are labeled the same and they look the same, so I agree with you there. But I'm going to go through the first schedule that says related costs, where it totals $393 million in the lower right corner. Madam Speaker, this is our assessment, and I would emphasize the word estimate at this point in time of what we think the state road construction program impacts are expenditures that are eligible under the state road construction program, as well as some of our what we would typically call our operating budget or state road operations impacts. And we tried to put this in a user-friendly fashion. If there's more or less detail that's required, we'll certainly be willing to supply that. With your indulgence, I'll go through it kind of top to bottom at this point in time. Under the state road construction, we have a bridge contract, a bid that is being vetted as we speak for $234 million. In addition, this contract has incentive opportunities, and I will use this as an up-to amount, but we thought we should show the total amount in case these incentives were actually all earned, of $27 million. The other costs, and at the risk of trying to not get into too much detail, we broadly group them, but I think they're pretty straightforward to many of the members here, and particularly Senator Murphy and Representative Leader. Right-of-way, utility agreements, railroad agreements, environmental mitigation, collectively those costs related to the on-bridge site we estimate to be as high as $59 million. So we do have a subtotal there that says, I think, the kind of to rebuild the bridge and everything we need to do on that piece alone is $320 million. Over and above that, we have other state road construction impacts that we've incurred or plan to incur, including the most visible is the bridge demolition project. We estimate that to be up to $18 million of costs, and much of that has been indeed incurred. They've made tremendous progress to date and are nearly completing that contract, is my understanding. Over and above that, as I referenced, we've had a number of traffic restoration or traffic management, traffic operations sort of investments that we've made. The restriping and repaving of the 94, converting 280 into a freeway status. Those were out-of-pocket costs. Contracts were let, and in many cases, we've already paid a number of those items. I should mention that this item, the $20 million, also includes a guesstimate of approximately half that amount, $10 million, to restore these items back to their original condition or back to the whatever the long-term answer is for those areas. So it's a bit prospective as well. And that will come back in further discussion as a memory point to recall. Other government costs, and this is a to-date number. We anticipate somewhere in the range of $17 million have been incurred to date. There's an ongoing dialogue about what future costs or what other impacts might or might not be ER and or FEMA eligible. Just to throw something else to complicate the issue, FEMA's out there as well for some things that might not be emergency relief funded from a transportation perspective. There's also other opportunities possibly for us, but more likely for local governmental units to participate in that funding. In any event, these things are, since the collapse is part of our program, are items that we can pay for out of the and that the local government's units are eligible for out of the state road construction. So we estimate, as of today, literally, that the impact of the I-35W bridge collapse on our state road construction program, the demand or strain that is putting on it, is $375 million. Separately, again, we've got this operating budget impact. State road operations, we've estimated another $18 million of impacts. The biggest chunk of that, quite frankly, and probably what the committee has seen mostly in the paper as well, is related to bridge inspections. We have approximately $2 million related to the forensic engineering investigation that's going on accompanying the NTSB. And we also have undertaken a comprehensive review of all of our state and local bridges, focusing on any fracture critical or any other deficient bridges in that category that's caused so much angst, and appropriately so, to at least revisit it. That contract is worth in the range of $7 to $8 million. So we think $10 million of our state road operations needs are just related to bridge inspections alone, just ensuring that they're safe and that we've got good data and most current information on all those bridges. So in a grand total sense, kind of the bridge and related cost impacts to our budget and to the state are $393 million at this point in time.
Mr. Gray, I'm going to call on Representative Leader as well, but I wanted to just clarify. So the $2 million for the forensic bridge investigation is actually the what we thought was an independent investigation of this is actually coming out of MnDOT funds. Is that correct?
Madam Speaker, our intention from the start, without any direction from anybody, was that we thought it would be important to have an independent inspector look at this in addition to our own internal resources. So, yes, it's a $2 million consultant agreement. And my understanding, and I would defer to people closer to the operations side, that they're working very closely in support of the NTSB and sharing information as well. But, yes, it's $2 million as an independent forensic engineering investigation consultant.
I guess for me it just raises a question about the independence of it when you're asking the agency to actually take it out of their own budget. When I assumed that the governor was taking it out of some sort of reserve fund. So just raising that as an issue at this point. Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I just like to relate to this one sheet. I have questions on the other sheet, too.
Why don't you ask your questions on this particular sheet that Mr. Gray just went through.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Mr. Gray, the total value of the contract, is that $234 million the way I read it here? I assumed it
Madam
was higher.
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, that's correct. That's the official bid price that was in our bid of last week.
Madam Speaker, Mr. Gray, the incentives, is that also the incentives for the demolition contract? I think there were incentives in that in case he completes earlier, takes longer.
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, no, I believe that the bridge demolition figure of $18 million is all-inclusive of any costs related to that, including any incentives or other conditions of fulfilling the contract. I believe that we've tried to keep those totally separate.
Madam Speaker. Mr. Gray, actually, the bridge demolition was originally a contract for $10 million. I see you have an $8 million overrun, and it isn't finished. Is that correct?
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, I wouldn't track that as an overrun. Quite frankly, this is being worked because of the urgency of the project. It's working under what we call a forced account basis. Our initial down payment, if you will, our investment was $10 million. Our planning estimate has always been in the range of $15 to $18 million, but it's for actual costs incurred. And we think the $18 million is a good estimate, but somewhere between $15 and $18 have always been in our planning scenario. And the $10 million was the initial, under the forced account basis, evidence of the initial encumbrance, if you will, on this.
Mr. Gray, Madam Speaker, I haven't seen the contract, but isn't there a provision in the contract normally for mobilization, and what would that be?
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, I am not that familiar with the contract other than what we've been using from a financial planning perspective. I believe that if you need some information and detail on that, we can talk to you separately. But it would be the full mobilization, the security, and the safety around the site, and, of course, the actual demolition and removal of the debris, and also would take into account probably what is a little bit untypical approach because they're preserving so much of this from an evidentiary standpoint. So I think it's an all-inclusive cost essentially for clearing out the bridge from and the approaches to ready it for the next stage.
Representative Leader, if you could clarify for people, since they're watching potentially this on the web or at home, the term mobilization so that people understand that term.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker and Mr. Gray, actually mobilization is a lot of times referred as early money to the contractor. It allows the contractor to get paid for, because he doesn't get any estimates prior to his first month. It allows him for moving in his equipment and in some cases ordering and supplies and, as Mr. Gray pointed out, security and everything else. And my understanding in this contract, it's 15% of the value. Normally, it's about 10%. And it would appear, Mr. Gray, if it's $234 million, the reason I'm asking the question, mm-hmm. Madam Speaker, because it affects the cash flow. If it were 15% of the contract, that's roughly $30 million or more upfront money you're going to have to, as soon as they sign that contract, and it's available as soon as they sign the contract, that he gets paid. And I guess that was my concern here.
I know, Representative Leader, you had a follow-up question as well, but thank you for clarifying on the term mobilization so that people understand that we're talking about the next phase of this and the contract for the rebuild of the bridge.
I think basic, you know, the other item I see on state road operations, including bridge inspections, Mr. Gray, has URS been paid for any of their inspections at this point, and what is the value of their work they'd be getting paid to? For that, URS was the consultant that was doing the bridge inspections.
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, I'm not familiar. My assumption is that URS, who was, I believe, had conducted a review and inspection of the bridge prior to the collapse, I would imagine that they indeed have been paid, but I would have to verify that, so I will hold judgment on that. The forensic bridge inspection has been underway literally almost since the start of the, within a week or 10 days of the bridge collapse. So I believe we've been incurring, if not paying, bills at that point. And it is Parsons Brinckerhoff America, or PBA, who are conducting the statewide bridge inspections. And they, too, are under contract and have begun inspections. And I believe we've encumbered in the range of a couple of million dollars towards that effort, but anticipate as part of this $18 million that exercise will be approximately a $7 to $8 million total cost by the time it's done. So URS is not either doing the forensic investigation nor the statewide bridge inspections at this point. So I can only presume that they had completed and have been paid for their work prior to this time. I will verify that and supply that information to the committee.
Madam Speaker, and Mr. Gray, I'd appreciate that because I think they have a continuing inspection contract or whatever is going on, and that could be a little bit of money. There was one other item on the bridge. The bridge contract itself is only from the end of the approach spans, and it doesn't take any additional cost if there has to be some work on the pavement or ramps or anything else. This is strictly, so you may have some cost over and above the bridge cost. Would that be correct?
Madam Mr. Speaker, Gray. Representative Leader, this is getting a lot closer. I think this is a pretty good number, is our hope, and that it includes work on and just off the bridge as well. But I would have to defer to our bridge management experts and the people who are bidding the contract and reviewing the contract at this point in time. I believe this is an all-inclusive sense of our costs right now. So whether it's in the 234 or in other numbers here, I think the 234 is largely inclusive of the costs.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Mr. Gray, I was just trying to establish, because I'm concerned about the cash flow, and based on the appearance we've been hearing in the cash flow, I think we have some problems, and that on your other sheet, I'd like to ask some questions when we get into that.
And Representative Leader and Mr. Gray, I think that we are going to take a break at this point, being that the hour is already 1 o'clock. And we will break, and we will be back in session at 1:30. So we are in recess.